Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. The scripture readings and other propers for the seventh Sunday after the Epiphany speak especially of God's rich mercy and grace to forgive us and to save us. And while there are several accents or themes that could be drawn from them, there are two that are basic. The first is this: forgiveness and salvation are found in Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God. That's abundantly clear in the week's gospel. A paralytic is brought to Jesus, and he forgives his sin, and then he heals his infirmity. Forgiveness and salvation are found in Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God. That's one. And the other is closely tied to it. You can always depend on the Lord to forgive and to save. Look again at that gospel lesson. There are four men. They have a sick friend, and they hear about Jesus. They go to the house where Jesus is speaking, and they can't come in. You know the story. So they go up to the roof. They open it up. They open a way and lower down the man. And Jesus sees their faith, and he says, "Your sins are forgiven." And to show that he has the authority to forgive sins, he also heals him, tells him, "Get up, take your mat, go on home." And he does. You can always depend on the Lord to forgive and to save. Those four men did, and the Lord responded. That's because we have a Lord who will fail no one who turns to him, who will fail no one who trusts in him, who will fail no one who depends upon him, who relies upon him. That's why the psalm that we just spoke tells us to put our hope in the Lord. With him is steadfast love. With him is, as the older translations say, plenteous redemption. That's the kind of God we have. That's the kind of God the Lord is: compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. You can always depend upon the Lord to forgive and to save. He will fail no one who turns to him. He will fail no one who trusts in him. He will fail no one who depends upon him. That's the kind of God we have. And that's the kind of God the lessons, the propers, bring out this week. But they bring out also something else. And the Old Testament lesson especially does this, about God's forgiveness and his salvation. And that theme, that accent, that thrust is this: don't take the Lord's forgiveness and salvation for granted. Yes, he is always ready to forgive. He is always ready to save, but do not take it lightly. Do not take it for granted. Do not let it become too common. That, like I said, comes out clearly in the reading, the Old Testament lesson that was just read from Isaiah 43. Which speaks, on the one hand, of God's great love, his willingness to forgive, his power to save. Thus says the Lord. And what kind of God is the Lord? What kind of God is Yahweh? He is one who is going to break the captivity of the Babylonians. He's one who does things like this: makes a way in the sea, carves a path through the raging waters, puts dry land where there's supposed to be an ocean. That's the kind of God that Yahweh is. And what he did in the past is going to be surpassed by the things he's going to do in the future, which are just around the corner. Where once he made a way in the sea, now he's going to make a way in the wilderness. Where once he put dry land where there was water, now he's going to bring rushing waters where there is a desert. And even the wild animals are going to honor him. And he's going to do this for his people, the people that he chose, the people that he formed, so that they might offer up his praises. That's the kind of God, Israel has. That's the kind of God the Lord is. But what kind of people does this God have? There are people who are growing weary of the Lord. They have not called upon him in praise and in prayer. They have not taken upon themselves to offer offerings and sacrifices. No, for some reason, it's all a little too common, too routine. And they're taking the Lord for granted. The Lord who is willing to save, who has saved in the past, who will save in the future. The Lord who is willing to blot out transgressions, to not remember sins, is being taken for granted. And he challenges Israel, state your case, show me your innocence. You can't do it. Sin has been with your fathers, sin has been with your mediators, sin is upon you. And it's for this reason there will be trouble. It is for this reason there will be destruction. It is for this reason there will be despair and darkness over Judah, over Jacob, over Israel. Don't take the Lord's forgiveness and salvation for granted. The old things for us are the things of the Passover and the Exodus, of the return from captivity in Babylon. And they have been surpassed by the new thing, by Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came to forgive and to save, who came to deliver from sin and death and the devil, who has come to save and to forgive you. And who not only came once, but is going to return, and return soon, and make all things new, to raise the dead, to heal the sick, to reign forever. This is what God has done in Christ, and this is what God will do in Christ for you. And so I urge you, do not take the Lord's forgiveness and salvation lightly. Remember what he has done for you. Remember what he has promised for you. Keep those things in mind. Do not take the Lord's forgiveness and salvation for granted. Now, the text doesn't explain why Israel did this. They just did. And perhaps it doesn't explain why it might happen to you. But to hear it, the stories over and over again, to hear the truths over and over again, it can become, can it not, routine and common and time-worn. It happens. And that's why I urge you, remember what God has done, remember what God has promised. Let me urge you, like St. Paul did to the Corinthians. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting men's trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We beseech you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with God, then, we entreat you not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, at the acceptable time, I have listened to you and helped you on the day of salvation. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The Lord has come once to offer himself as a ransom for your sins, to be for us a substitute. And God raised him from the dead, the first fruits of those who will be raised, and has given to you the promise of forgiveness and salvation. That is sure. Of course, the consummation of that promise is yet to come. And in the meantime, there is the routine. There is the common. There is the everyday. But do not let these things dull the promise in your ears and in your hearts. Remember the Lord, what he has said, what he has done, and what he will do. Now and always. In the name of Jesus, amen.